time to put together a handout for you this morning. But and it's a little bit shorter than usual as well. So I'll try to just go speak a little slower and make sure you can understand what I'm saying. We're studying 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll just go ahead and start by reading from verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Heavenly Father, as we once again study your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that despite my sickness, that you will speak through these words, through your scriptures, by your Holy Spirit this morning, and that it'll be a blessing to us and it'll be a help to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I spoke last time about these great words, as free. And notice that it is not speaking of a freedom that we have to sin, no, but we are free to serve God. Not free to do our own thing, but free to do God's things. Not free to do whatever we feel like doing, but free to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. If you visit America and you ever have a chance to talk to some of the young people, especially those in some of the black communities, you'll find that these young people are discussing how they have a dream. Even today, they have a dream that one day they'll be free. And they talk about how they're hoping that one day in America they'll be free and loosed from the bonds and the shackles that have bound them since the days that their ancestors were brought to America. It's funny to me. Maybe it's not so strange to you because you're not Americans, but to me, it's sad. It's sad that someone can enjoy the benefits of living in the nation where there's probably more liberty, more freedom, more equality than any other place on the face of the earth, and yet they're deceived into thinking that they're slaves that are living in bondage. It's just a sad thing. Now, why is that? How did they get that mindset? Because somebody taught them that on the basis of a past, a distant past, I might add, that they're still in some sort of bondage and that they're not free to enjoy life, liberty, and, as they say, the pursuit of happiness. So they're going to waste their entire life striving after a freedom that's been theirs since the day they were born. How sad to miss out on the joys and blessings of America because somebody's convinced you that they're not available to you when they are. And, well, our churches are filled with people who have been born again, set free by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet have been convinced by a preacher, by a relative, by a Christian friend, by a counselor, by an advisor, that you'll never get free from that sin. You'll never break the bonds of that habit. You'll always be what you have always been. Until they say, by the grace of God, you go home to heaven. And that's when you'll be free. How sad that we allow somebody to convince us that we're living in bondage to sin, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ has set us at liberty to enjoy the glorious freedom of the Christian life. Hey, there's not one person in the United States of America, as far as we know, legally anyway, as far as we know, who is a slave on a cotton plantation, as you might have found 100 years ago. That's over and done. So why not move on with your life? There's not one person in America that was captured by blacks in Africa, sold to white traders, hauled over to America on a slave ship, and auctioned off in a public square. Then why are so many people still living with the mindset that that's the America of today? Someone is trying to keep a group of people in bondage so that they can continue to manipulate those people on the basis of keeping them discontent, unsatisfied. And yet, people, every Sunday morning, they'll pick up their Bibles, they'll go to church, and the preacher says, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't follow this, if you don't follow that, then you can be right with God. And then the next week you come in and he says, but you can't accomplish that. It's not possible because you can't avoid sin. Let me tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, he set me free from the devil's clutches. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, he gave me his victory over death. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave me a new birth, he gave me his Holy Spirit of God. He gave me a new birth, and he enables me to live in victory over the sins that kept me down, past tense. I refuse to waste my life pretending that I'm still a slave to sin when the Bible says that I have been set free. I refuse to waste my life complaining about my bondage, complaining about my past, when God has given me such a glorious present, a glorious today. I'm going to live that. I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to enjoy that. Hey, don't rob me of life because I once lived in death. Don't rob me of joy because I once lived in sorrow. Don't rob me of light because I once lived in darkness. Don't try and convince me that I'm the man that I used to be, that I'm dwelling where I used to dwell, that I have the same relationship to the world that I once had to the world. I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in this verse, as free. Look at verse 15. For so is the will of God that with well doing, as free. Look, I'm free to do well. I'm free to live right. I'm free to live clean. Those old habits, yeah, they brought me to Jesus Christ, but now that I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm not in that habit. Those vices broke me and drove me to the place where I called on the Lord. But he lifted me up to walk in newness of life. I'm free to do right. I'm free to live clean. I'm free to be holy. I'm free to be different. I don't have to get the fashion magazine to find out what I'm supposed to wear because I'm free. I don't have to watch the TV to find out what kinds of words I'm supposed to use, what kind of dirty jokes I'm supposed to tell. I'm free. I don't have to pick up the newspaper to find out how I'm supposed to think. I'm free. I've got God's book. I'm free to do right, and I'm free to live clean. Verse number 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I'm free to be open, free to be honest. I'm free to be who God has made me. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to cloak it. I don't have to cover it up or disguise it. You know what would happen if every person realized they were free to go to any school they wanted to go to? They were free to pursue any career they wanted to pursue. They were free to gain whatever success they want in this life. You know what would happen? Well, those preachers who spend all their time fighting the government for all of those unsubstantiated and fruitless causes would have to stop doing that and get a job. Here's what they do. I'm talking about preachers like Jesse Jackson, a good example. Always complaining, always in some kind of a battle. He takes his liberty and his freedom, which he has, by the way, and he maliciously cloaks his freedom in expressions of bondage. Look what this country's doing to me, keeping me down. And he travels around the country eating in five-star restaurants and sleeping in the penthouse of the finest hotel in town. And then he gets in front of the TV camera and talks about how he's in bondage. He's a liar. He's a free man, and he's enjoying it. He's enjoying his freedom. He's got liberty, and he's having a good time as an American. I'd like to hear him preach against the government in China sometime, like the way he preaches against the government of the United States of America there in Washington, D.C., and he says he's not free. Go to North Korea and try that, right, brother? You say, why wouldn't he do that? Because he's not free to do that over there. He's free to do it in America, though. Now, what I don't understand is why a man would get in a pulpit of a church or stand in a meeting house in a room full of Christian people and tell them, you are a slave to sin. You are a servant to sin. You're in bondage to sin. And you'll always be in bondage as long as you're in this world. But Jesus Christ, he'll help you through it. Hey, take off that cloak of maliciousness, preacher. You can't speak salvation and justify sin in the same breath. How do you proclaim liberty in Jesus Christ and bondage to sin in the same sentence? That's not Bible. Now, if I sin, I want to stand up and say, listen, I'm sorry. This, I know it's not God's fault what I did. This is my fault. I yielded to the flesh. God could have helped me. God could have delivered me. God could have given me the victory, but I chose to rebel against God and surrendered to sin rather than to trust the Lord to give me victory over it. You're not going to praise God and talk about living in sin in the same breath. That won't work. That's contradictory. I'm free. Let's look now in John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. How many of you here have ever heard somebody say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? Usually they just say, the truth shall set you free. You hear it in movies all the time, and people just use it, you know. Well, what we need to do is read the whole passage, because the truth will not set you free if you don't have the truth. And the truth will not set you free if you don't have a right relationship to the truth. John chapter 8. verse number 29, John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Wish I could say that. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Important. Now what we have those who have believed on Jesus Christ. That is the context of verse 32 we're coming to. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. These are believers. So he's speaking to. He's not speaking to the whole world. He's not speaking to everybody. He's speaking to those that have believed on him. So you see that. Keep it in the context. Let's read on. If, that's an important word. It's a conditional word. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number one, you are not free unless you have believed on him. Number two, you are not free unless you have his word. Number three, you're not free unless you continue in his word. Only a believer with the word of God, who has submitted himself to the word of God, can be set free. But you hear this Bible verse being abused all the time. And, certain people in America say, if you follow the teachings of Martin Luther King, his truth will set you free. That is blasphemy. Because, I mean, think about it. What if I stood up here this morning and I said, hey, just follow my word. If you do what I say, if you listen to me, it'll set you free. You say, man, what a joke. Listen to that guy. Who does he think he is? All right, so why do people take it serious when Marty King says the same thing, or people say the same thing about him? There is one person whose word can set you free. His word cannot set you free if you don't continue in it. His word cannot set you free if you don't believe on him. Let's reverse it. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have his Bible, and you don't put it down, you read it and you keep reading it, and you don't quit believing it, you believe it and you keep believing it, you continue in his word, then there is no excuse at all for our being in bondage to any sin, any vice, any habit, any practice, because Jesus Christ said that he, through the power of his word, would set us free. You can quit drinking if you want to. You can quit cursing if you want to. You can quit cheating on your wife if you want to. You can quit enjoying worldly pleasures more than you enjoy the things of God if you want to. You can get to the church house when the doors are open if you want to. You say, well, I just don't have the power. Yes, but you're not your own. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ so that his power through his word can enable you. We want to go to heaven when we die because we're saved. But we want to live in the world like we've never been saved. Why? Why continue in bondage to the wrong thought process? Why continue in bondage to the wrong associations? Why continue in bondage to the wrong things when the Word of God, if we continue in it, would set us free? You know why some of you this morning are not free to enjoy church? Because you haven't spent any time at all in that Bible this week. You're so wrapped up in everything else, you didn't have time for the Word of God. And that's exactly right. You're wrapped up in everything else. Wrapped up. It's got you bound in bondage. The Word of God would set you free from that. You know why some of you are not free to love every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in the building this morning? You know why you're not free to do that? Because you're all wrapped up in some little bitterness or some little resentment or some little self-righteous ego trip where you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. You're wrapped up in something that Jesus Christ could set you free from. You know the Bible would tell you how to get over that, so... Well, because you know that, you just don't read those parts of the Bible. You choose to remain in that bondage. Now listen, if I'm in bondage to sin this morning, if you are in bondage to sin this morning, you can justify it, you can excuse it, you can say that it's not a sin, you can do whatever you want, but I'm telling you right now, it's got you bound. And Jesus Christ said he could set you free if you would just continue in his word. Let's read on, verse number 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now here's the other side of the coin. Here are a bunch of Jews whose land that God gave them is present at that present time under control of the Roman government. They want to crucify a man who they think is wrecking their religion. And they have got to go to Pilate for permission. They have sacrifices that they are supposed to offer in a building on a spot at a certain time, and they can't do it because there are Roman regulations. Hey, are any of you familiar with the Babylonian captivity? How many of you have heard of that Babylonian captivity in the Old Testament? We've been studying about that on Monday nights. You remember the Chaldeans? They came in to capture the Jews. Remember that? Remember the Romans came in and they took them? And yet here, in what we just read, they say, "We were never in bondage to any man." Did you ever read that and think that was weird? That they would, why would they, are they so deluded that they actually believe that? But you know what you've got? You've got people who cannot dress right because they're trying to fit in. You got people that can't live right because they're trying to fit in. You've got people that can't follow the Lord because they're trying to fit in. And they say, "I'm not in bondage to anybody." Well, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're in bondage to the world. We were never in bondage. Verse 34, Jesus answered them. We're in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Look, he didn't say whoever habitually practices this particular sin. If you commit sin, that sin was going to take a hold on you. 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." All right, now look, verse 36. "If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Look at the word. Free. Free what? Indeed. Not, he's not talking about how you're free to go to heaven, but free in everything you do. Free from the grip of sin. 1 Peter 2, do good. It says, with well-doing. We just read that. John chapter 8, indeed, the things you do in your deeds, you're free to live the way that the Lord would have you to live. Have any of you ever spent any time in a Southern Baptist church growing up? My parents used to take me to a Southern Baptist church as a child. But one of the things you heard on a regular basis is, as they prayed, they'd say, "God, we just pray that you would forgive us for those sins we have committed and those sins that we are bound to commit." Speaking clearly of the bondage to sin. Have you ever heard a Southern Baptist deacon pray that? You know, just things that, and some, a lot of times it's obvious they don't really know what they're saying. They just heard someone else say it, like, "God bless these tithes and the offerings, bless the gift and the giver." You know, they just little catchphrases that have been passed down from generation to generation. But hey, why would you stand before God and confess to Him that there are sins you are bound to commit? Don't you think that's a strange cloak of maliciousness? I'm telling God, I'm planning on sinning, God. Forgive me in advance, would you? Kind of strange. You hear preachers say, "Well, you know, God knows we all sin a little bit every day. We just can't help it." That is a lie. We might all sin a little bit every day, but we could help it. We could help it if we cared. I mean, think about it. Is there anybody here? Let me see your hand this time, okay? Can you live 60 seconds, 1 minute, if you're devoted to God, can you live 1 minute without sinning? Can you do that? You think you can do that? Come on, don't be ashamed. Can you? If you are sure you can live 60 seconds without sinning, raise your hand. Wow. Well, I'm surprised. I thought more people would raise your hands. But, hey, you can. You know you can do it. Come on, admit it. You could. You could live without sinning. Only 1 minute. I mean, you only live 1 minute at a time. But when you say that you are certain, you're bound to sin at some point during each day, what you mean is, I could live 1 minute without sin, but I'm not devoted enough to the Lord to do that every minute. You could do it. All right. Romans chapter 6. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass anybody. Nobody was looking but me, though. Romans chapter number 6. You know, I'm not standing up here this morning as somebody that's got complete and total victory over all sin and transgression. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to excuse it and say, well, I just couldn't help it. I'm not going to condemn the Word of God. I'm going to condemn me. I could live in victory all the time if I didn't keep relocating, if I would just stay right there where Jesus said, if you continue in my word. I keep moving, though. There's a lot of things out there trying to get you out of the word, a lot of voices out there trying to get you away from the word. Romans chapter 6. You know, but you know, all these young people, kids today, that they're convinced that they're in some kind of a racial bondage. They don't know what they're talking about. That ugliness, and I know it was an ugly time period, but that's been over a long time. Because since the early 70s, 1970s in America, all schools, all the public schools have been integrated. Black kids, white kids, Spanish kids, Asian kids, all sitting in the same classrooms. Kids today have never been in a racially segregated school. They've never been in a racially segregated restaurant. People in minority groups have gotten preferential treatment, in fact, in college admissions. They've gotten preferential treatment even in job placements in America. Listen, that's been going on for their parents' lifetime. And yet, there are still minority kids today who have to grow up, unfortunately, thinking that they have to use the color of their skin to get themselves promoted in life because they don't stand a chance any other way because of the bondage that they're in. It's pretty sad. Why am I saying that? Because there are people, similarly, sitting in church saying, my grandpa was a drunkard, my dad was a drunkard, and I don't want to be a drunkard, but, you know, I just don't stand a chance. I just grew up with it. I've just been around it all my life. Hey, I thought you got born again. I thought the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside you. Why do we sit around living in the past that God has delivered us from and saying that you've got to continue in that past? You don't have to smoke dope anymore. You don't have to cuss anymore. You don't have to flirt and be loose and immodest anymore. You can live right. It's over. It's done. You're free from that. God set you free from all of it. Man, we're living in a past that doesn't even exist. All right. Romans 6. Let me show you. Romans 6, verse number 20. For when... All right. Look. For when ye were... You know that's a past tense word. When ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. There was a time you could not do right, even if you tried with all your might. Listen, I don't want you to raise your hands, but listen, if you were a drunk before God saved you, you know you tried. You might have tried many a time to quit that drinking, and you know you couldn't do it. If you were a dope addict, you didn't want to be a dope addict. You just couldn't quit. Well, how come you're here this morning, and you're not drunk, and you're not strung out on dope? Somebody must have set you free, and it wasn't you. You remember, you tried to do it, and you failed. All right, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free, say the words with me, from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Now look, remember, this is written to Christians. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you don't continue in God's Word, you stray back into the realm of sin. And every time you do, something dies. It may be your joy. It may be your excitement. It may be your enthusiasm. It may be your ability to wholeheartedly agree with the preacher when he's preaching the truth of the Word of God. And it may be a child. It may be a marriage. It may be a career. But what I'm saying is, sin will cost you dearly. It'll cost you as much, even though you're a saved person, it'll cost you as much as it did when you were a lost person. Sin is going to kill something. The end result of all sin is death. That's the Bible. All right, what's the end result of all righteousness? Life. Something good, something blessed, something thriving, something enjoyable, something beneficial. Life comes from doing right. Now, do you know how the devil deceives us? Do you know how false preachers deceive us? Do you know how the wrong kinds of books and the wrong kinds of literature, the wrong kinds of associations, do you know how they deceive us into thinking, don't be narrow-minded, don't be hateful, don't be intolerant, don't be a prude, you can live in sin. I mean, anyway, you know, God is love, so you'll reap life no matter what. That is a lie that's being told in liberal, modernistic churches all over the place. And you need to know that it is a lie. They'll tell little girls to dress up like harlots and go out and flirt and kiss around and exchange saliva with everybody, every boy in church. But, you know, but God loves you. Isn't life wonderful? It isn't going to be wonderful if you don't straighten up. Death will follow. It's going to be miserable. Miserable. You go to some churches in America today, and you'll see men with their hair dyed orange with black stripes, and they've got their lips pierced several times, and their nose full of holes and piercings, you know, and one or both of their eyebrows pierced, and that guy is the youth minister. And they'll tell you it's a great way to reach young people who are turned off by traditional forms of Christianity. You know what the problem is with somebody like that? He wants the sin of the world and the life that comes with Jesus Christ. Somebody deceived him. You can't have both. The wages of sin is, that's present tense, death, present tense. All right, now look at it. Look at verse 22. But now being made free from sin. I'm free, man. Why do I want to keep going to the graveyard? I'm free. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 1. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that is not Old Testament law. That's another subject for another day. What is the law of sin and death? It's the one that we like to talk about so much. Look at chapter 7, Romans 7, verse number 19. I'm going to do this slowly because it's confusing. Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Is that a law? That is a law. That's the law of sin and death. Yes, that is a law. Whenever I want to do right, something in my flesh wants me to do wrong. But I'm free. I don't have to obey that law. When you guys got saved, people all over the world have been taught that, hey, Romans 7 is the end of the discussion. They're told that because sin flows in your members, in your flesh, and because the lusts of your flesh war against the Spirit, and because there's a law that whenever you do right, evil is present with you, you just can't help it. That's not the end of the discussion. The discussion goes on in chapter 8 and verse 2 and says, yes, that law is present, but you don't have to obey it. I can ignore that law. I can run that stop sign. I can break that speed limit. I'm free from that law. When my flesh says lust, I can say no. When my flesh says, why don't you lose your temper? I can say no. When my flesh wants to harbor bitterness and resentment, I can say no. I am free. I can do right. Every religion in the world compels man to do right so that God will accept him. And that's why religion leaves men miserable and desperate, because they cannot do right. Christianity says God will have you just like you are, and He will enable you to do right. What a difference. What a glorious difference. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon, that means this is the way I count it to be so. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, you've heard this passage preached many times. You know, I'm in a body, I groan, there are heartaches, there are pains and everything else. And bless God, one day we're going to heaven and we'll enjoy the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's true. But look at verse 19. Verse 19. For the earnest. Do you know what an earnest is? It's a down payment. Expectation. Do you know why you expect that when you get to heaven, you will be completely and totally free from all sin? Well, because God has already given you the down payment on that by setting you free from that one and that one and that one and that one. All these sins that come your way in your Christian life, each one God set you free from them. You know, God is able, because you know that God is able to give you victory over all sin because of the down payment he's already made in your life. You've seen him do it. Now, do you know what our trouble is? We live too much on the expectation and too little on the earnest. You understand what I'm saying? We spend too much time looking forward to the day in heaven when we're free from all sin, instead of making this a day when we're free from one more. We can be free this morning, free from the bondage of sin, free from slavery to our past, free from dwelling in a world that to us should no longer exist. I'm free. It's over. It's done. I am at liberty. Bless God, I got saved in 1991, and it sure has been a struggle. It's really tough living for God. I just got so many problems. You're not living there anymore. God moved you out. You're free. Say no to that sin. Say no to that habit. Say no to that vice. Say no to that feeling. Say no to that emotion. Continue in the Word and the truth of God will set you free from the law of sin and death. I'm at liberty. I'm at liberty to serve Jesus Christ. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that though we live in a body of flesh that is tempted to sin, Lord, we thank you that we don't have to, that we don't have to obey that law of sin and death. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us victory. You have set us free. You've given us liberty from that sin, from that old life, our old ways. Lord, we pray that you'd make each and every person here today one who desires to be devoted to you, devoted to your word, one who will continue in your word so that they can obey this law of freedom, Lord, and disobey that law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord, we can do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.